This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The government shutdown now in day 21. The Senate will take up another vote tomorrow on a measure to end it, but the stalemate continues over Democrats calling for negotiations to extend health benefits. The impacts of the shutdown being felt from critical food programs like SNAP to flight delays as air traffic controllers deal with shortages and now sick calls. ABC's Perry Russom has more.
Delays are happening in Dallas, Atlanta, and Newark. You have these workers who are working their jobs, very stressful jobs, knowing they are not getting paid. So now some of them are calling out, trying to find other work elsewhere to put food on the table, keep the roof over their heads. Many of them have mortgages, so they're trying to find other ways of income.
President Trump blasting Democrats, he says, for the shutdown at a luncheon for Republicans today, touting the new ballroom planned at the White House. Demolition began yesterday. Top Trump officials in Israel, including Vice President J.D. Vance, working to shore up a ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas after skirmishes. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thede. Average gasoline prices in Wisconsin have fallen 6.7 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.61 a gallon, according to Gas Buddy's survey of over 3,000 stations in Wisconsin. Prices in Wisconsin are 28.6 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and stand 32.4 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. According to Gas Buddy price reports, the cheapest station in Wisconsin was priced at $2.36 a gallon, while the most expensive was $3.17 a gallon, a difference of 81 cents per gallon. The national average price of gasoline has fallen 4.1 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.98 a gallon. The national average is down 19.3 cents per gallon from a month ago and stands 15.2 cents per gallon lower than a year ago, according to Gas Buddy data compiled from more than 11 million weekly price reports covering over 150,000 gas stations across the country. The national average price of diesel has decreased 3.7 cents compared to a week ago and stands at $3.59 per gallon. Gas prices have finally fallen below $3 per gallon nationally, the earliest date we've seen a $2.99 national average since 2020, when COVID was the primary driver of low prices, said Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at GasBuddy. OPEC Plus deserves much of the credit for this trend, having steadily raised oil production for much of 2025. For WRCE News, I'm Tim Thede.
The future for Luke Fickell. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers play the number 6th-ranked Oregon Ducks Saturday night in Eugene. The Badgers are 2-5, losing 5 games in a row. Luke Fickell was asked if he knows yet if he'll be back next year at Wisconsin.
No, I don't think any of us have a crystal ball. I've never asked the question. It's not something that I can dwell upon. It's not something that I can't tell you that it's not something that doesn't you don't think about.
Chris McIntosh, the Badgers athletic director, releasing a statement saying Wisconsin remains supporting Fickell in his role as the head football coach. NFL. The Packers play the Steelers in Pittsburgh Sunday night. Linebacker Isaiah McDuffie on what he was most proud of in their win over Arizona.
You know, that's what we've been talking about since the start of the season. You know, just finishing throughout the entire week. That's what we emphasized, and, you know, we got the opt to finish, and we did it.
That's linebacker Isaiah McDuffie with Sports on Mike Clemens.
107.7 WRCE, news from the center and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Of showers, clouds, and a very stiff west to northwest wind between 35 and 40 miles per hour for your Tuesday afternoon. Highs in the upper 40s. Tonight, shower chances wind down. The breeze stays up. Clouds in upper 30s near 50 Wednesday. Right now, it's 45 degrees.
The dunks.
Driving down the lane to the rim, and he rips it down with a right hand.
The daggers.
Got it, and a foul. Good job, Blackwell is feeling it.
exclamation points.
Jack on the run down the lane to the rim, and he sends it down.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Good again! And that's 100 for the Wisconsin Badgers.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Winter for three straight on straight in.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Robert Kennedy Jr. says America is under-babied. What can we do to encourage more Americans to become parents? Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Yeah, across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along Mr. Aaron Zommer is our producer and engineer on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into the big show, hour number two on this Tuesday, October 21st, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along at the world headquarters here, from the world headquarters of Civic Media at the intersection of State and Fairchild. Aaron Zommer, it's great to have you here.
Good to be here.
It's always going to be a quick look again at the Sam Davidson Street cam. The rain has stopped, apparently. Still overcast. It's almost Halloween-y out.
I think that's a little one. Bit.
A little Halloween-y today. A little windy, blowing in witches from the east.
Just eerie out there.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But it's a nice day. Nice day. Glad to be along. At the bottom of this hour, Danielle DeClos, Enterprise and investigative reporter at the Cap Times, is going to be with us talking about her great reporting story from last week on Department of Public Instruction and giving her an opportunity to talk about the story, the reporting. But also, Dr. Underley came out on Friday, basically attacking the reporter, the Cap Times, saying they did shoddy work. So we'll see what Danielle has to say about that. And again, I think there are two concerning things here. A, the subject of this story, these allegations of grooming and sexual misconduct amongst people of public education, not just educators, but other folks, and the fact that they can give up their license in exchange for not having the investigation continue. That's certainly tragic, and the alleged victim's tragic, but equally as disturbing to me is the apparent lack of transparency in the Department of Public Instruction and Dr. Underley. And now we have this story from the Wisconsin Public Radio today that they're also missing deadlines, DPI is, in reviewing financial things for school districts across the state. So I hope that Dr. Underley appears before the Assembly Committee on Thursday in person herself and doesn't send her flax. By the way, a flack, I used to be one, so I know. It's a spokesperson for a politician. She better not send her flax to testify. She better be there in person because Wisconsin deserves the right to know. So Danielle DeClos from Cap Times will be here at the bottom of the hour talking about that. We have a what's worse for you, a couple of serious news headlines. But right now, at 9 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock, time once again for Wisconsin Fun Fact.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of beauty, with your hillsides and your plains.
That's right. It's time once again for today's Wisconsin Fun Fact. On this day, October 21st, 1897, the Yerkes Observatory was dedicated on the shores of Lake Geneva, situated on a 77-acre park. The world-renowned refracting telescope remains operational and offers the opportunity to look at something else other than fibs all summer long. And that's how we play Wisconsin Fun Fact. I'm really liking this segment.
That is a fun fact.
That's a fun fact. It's a fun fact. Quickly, a fun fact. Today happens to be my birthday today.
Happy birthday, Todd.
I wasn't fishing for that, but yes. I only mention it because it's a great excuse to read because and normally I don't do a lot for my birthday, but tonight some of my longest friends, Rob Wheat and Jeff Daniels and I, are going. That's why I've got my Packer gear on today. We are going to the great new film, No Packers, No Life. All right. And we're going to the 9 o'clock show because that's what they could get. I said, can we still stay awake at 9 o'clock? So I may have to have some coffee before we go to the show tonight. But if you have not seen it, please get out and see this film. You can find more information at nopackersnolife.com or marcustheaters.com. And I just texted our friend Sean Hannish, one of the co-producers of this film. And he says they are continuing the following theaters for a second weekend in Bay Park, Hollywood, La Crosse, North Shore, Point Cinema, Ridge, and Valley Grand. So Bay Park is in Green Bay, Point Cinema here in Madison, Hollywood in Valley Grand in Appleton, Ridge in New Berlin, North Shore in Mequon, and La Crosse.
Not only are they continuing them, I hear there's actually some exciting news about this weekend's showings.
This weekend's showing?
Yeah. Oh, is this news to you as well?
Yes, I don't know. What are you talking about?
On Friday the 24th, they will have a showing with Mark Murphy there.
Really? Where is this at?
So this is Bay Park Cinema, Green Bay, 6:30 p.m. Special screening, followed by a Q&A with Mark Murphy and the filmmakers.
All right. Well, all of our listeners at WISS. I wish we still had listeners there, but no. WISS, get to Green Bay. Meet Mark. He's a great guy. Trigvi Olsen knows him, kind of. And what is that again?
That is this Friday, the 24th, at the 6:30 p.m. showing. If you go to nopackersnolife.com, you can link directly to that showing's tickets. They're still available.
The Zomers, thank you very much. Surprise me in the show. There you go. That's David New Berlin on the text line says, Jeff Daniels, the Jeff Daniels? Great. yes, the Jeff Daniels. Well, maybe not that Jeff, not the actor, but they share the same name. Dave says, how many spins around the sun, Todd?
A lady never tells.
50-something. No, I don't care. 56. I'm past the double nickels now. I'm on the downward side of 50, which, you know, doesn't feel great, but it's better than the alternative, right? Better than the speaking of here, let me read this. Kirk Herbstreit from ESPN, he tweeted this out today. I thought this was pretty good today. Says, please remember, your job is the dream of the unemployed. Your house is the dream of the homeless. Your smile is the dream of the depressed. Your health is the dream of those who are sick. Beautiful things happen when you distance yourself from negativity. Find something to be grateful for.
That's good advice.
I thought that was great. And so here I am. I'm other than a
salivary gland stone.
Yes. Other than a salivary gland stone, I'm feeling I'm healthy. And I'm getting to do what I love every day with great people. So I got nothing to complain about at all. Life is great. Glad to be along with all of you. All right. It's 14 past the hour of 3. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. All that. All that. Then, of course.
course, the choice is yours.
You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Time once again for what's worse. Nothing to give away, no prize, money involved. Just your chance to have your voices heard across all 10 news, talk, and sports stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. All right, this is good. Timely. Timely indeed, as Mike Lucas says. Because Zomers has been sneezing like a, like I don't know what, like a cat.
It's been pretty crazy.
A cat in a room full of baking flour. I don't know. I'm not
even
sure.
Or me
what that
in a room full of cats.
Or you in a room full of cats, yeah. But it's that time of year. It's allergy season. Just don't take too much Claritin, or you might end up with salivary gland stones.
Everything is a balance.
Everything is a balance. All right, so the category today, what's worse, trying not to sneeze or trying not to yawn? Trying not to sneeze or trying not to yawn? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the old Civic Media app. If you don't have it, download it today, your Apple or Android device. Simply go to your app store, in the little search bar, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up, a cute little CM logo. Click on that. Takes less than a minute. It's free. It's what our friend Gail King over at CBS calls a deal, the Civic Media app. What's worse, try not to sneeze or try not to yawn? Len in Madison, listening on WMDX, says trying not to sneeze is usually worse than trying not to yawn, as sneezing tends to be more violent reaction requiring more uncomfortable suppressing effort. That is a great take, Len. That's a great take.
Also, for those of you watching the stream, the picture for trying not to sneeze is a zebra hocking a loogie all over the place. And then a woman who is mid-yawn. And I will say, looking at the picture of the yawning person makes me have to yawn.
Yes.
And I have with the mic off already.
Have you really?
Yeah. Well, I held it back. You know,
I'm intrigued. You're right. I'm intrigued by the card, by the graphic for those watching online on the stream. When I think about sneezing, I don't necessarily associate that or equate that with a zebra.
Neither do I.
But apparently, the people putting this together, a sneezing zebra, all animals do, right? At least all mammals sneeze.
I mean, I've heard a lot of weird sneezes.
Hey, you remember
sneezes?
Letterman used to have that sneezing monkey, which is like not an actual monkey on the set, but like this little. What do you call it? Like a rhesus monkey or something? And then go, ha-choop.
I did not see that, but that's pretty good.
All right, what's worse? Try not to sneeze or try not to yawn? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. While we wait for, here, Roger in Stevens Point, listening on WFHR, beautiful Wisconsin Rapids, says yawning is worse. I like to sneeze. The louder, the better. Now, that's a person right after my mom's heart. My grandmother, my maternal grandmother, my sister, even I, too, we can be very loud sneezers and just let it fly. Scares
you know,
people.
I am a much louder sneezer than I used to be because, you know, my dad always did like the exaggerated dad sneeze like that. Right. Just like as loud as possible.
Yeah.
And at one point I mimicked that and now I really partially do it. Just as my normal sneeze.
What's worse, trying not to sneeze or trying not to yawn? 855-752-4842. PJ, watching on YouTube, says trying not to sneeze, especially as a man in unfortunate situations such as while using the restroom and a sneeze creeps up. That can be devastating.
It can.
That can be devastating. David New Berlin, I can't think of another option. trying not to yawn is worse. Okay. All right. Very good. By the way, a couple of, I guess we can do it after the next break here. Cause I got a couple of newsy things we'll get to before the
bottom. What's worse for you?
What's the worst for me? It depends, but in terms of like, I'm thinking of like trying to stop it. Right. I would say overall, trying not to sneeze is worse than trying not to yawn. Because
I think
you can stifle a yawn.
You can kind of keep talking like that when you're
yawning.
Stop that.
You're going to make me yawn. All right. Come on back. We have a new entry in the race for Wisconsin Attorney General and a new category of ridiculousness, dingbat Republican politics on the other side.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the Recombobulation Area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
They were it. That's the ballgame.
Adrian Klenz is executive director of the Center for Deafblind Persons. Those cuts, those programs would be rolled into something else. Is there a group deafblind children could be folded into?
There is no other program. Those seven individuals have the specialized training to help those with dual sensory loss. There's no one else in the state of Wisconsin that has that training.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now past the hour of 3 o'clock on Tuesday, October 21st, 2025. Glad to have you along. Let's go to the phone lines here, finishing up what's worse for today. What's worse, trying not to sneeze or trying not to yawn. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Ollie in the North Woods calling in. Ollie, trying not to sneeze or trying not to yawn? What's worse?
Oh, trying not to sneeze. Because when you get to be a person of a certain age, you might have a little extra problem.
Right? Right?
Right.
Yeah.
And my dad had a chocolate sneeze. Do you know what that is?
I do not. Please explain.
I can guess.
What is it?
Well, he used to go, Hershey! Hershey!
That's good, Ollie. I like that. Yeah, people do, like, they make certain sounds or, you know, things. People's sneezes are as unique as laughter, right?
Yes, they are, and it's wonderful, isn't it?
It is. It really is. Ollie, thanks so much for a great day. Let's go quickly to Jack in Merrimack. Jack, listening on WMDX. Jack, what's worse, trying not to yawn or trying not to sneeze?
Well, I would say it's worse to try not to sneeze, but it is harder. That I would admit. But, if you don't try not to sneeze and you sneeze and you're sick, then you're spreading stuff around. So
right.
That's definitely not the best. I had if you got a minute, on a more serious subject.
Sure,
I do
quickly,
have a comment
if you can.
On okay. Regarding the Jill Enderle thing, I agree 100% with you that she should appear at a committee in the legislature. She should at least give her explanation as to what's happening. If, however, there is a cover-up that involves the DPI, she should be out immediately.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, I was vice president of a teachers union for about 8 years, and I investigated several incidents like this. Understand that these are accusations, these 200. They are
correct.
Not necessarily proven. And, in fact, one of those things I investigated, and I won't go into the detail, but it turned out to be completely false, which can permanently damage a teacher's reputation.
Right.
The other thing I want to say, is this, and I've lost count of the exact number, but we're talking about 200, and they're not all teachers, first of all.
Correct.
Some are support staff. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is that there are tens of thousands of ethical teachers in the state of Wisconsin.
100%.
I was one for 40 some odd years. The problem with something like this, though, is it smells like a cover up. Then it looks bad for every teacher, and that's
right.
Another reason why Underly's got to answer for this.
Jack, I'm 100% with you. As people regular, you included, you know, I come from a family of educators. And you're 100% right. The lack of Underly coming forward and answering candidly only gives fuel to the fire, the political fire, for Robin Voss and his ilk to try to take a nugget of truth and then compound this with misinformation. And it's a slap in the face to the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of educators in the state who are doing a great job. And I would think that if I'm Jill Underly, I would want to come and have the light of day shined on this, answer every question, don't withhold anything, and be transparent to protect the very industry and the people that I'm elected to serve.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. She's got to definitely do something about this. And like I said, if there is truly cover-up involved, she should be gone, period.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. Thanks, Jack. I appreciate the call. Very quickly, some quick headlines for you. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. A rematch of the 2022 race for Attorney General is shaping up in Wisconsin. Fond du Lac County District Attorney Eric Toney announced he will again challenge incumbent Attorney General Josh Call, a Democrat. Call narrowly beat Toney in the race 4 years ago. Since then, the opponents made a joint plea for more funding for state crime evidence labs. Call has decided to seek re-election as attorney general rather than run for governor. So a rematch there in the attorney general's race coming up. And this from Hope Carnap in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. A group of Republicans in the state capitol introduced several bills aimed at expanding access to firearms, including allowing concealed carry without a license and strengthening language around the right to bear arms sales in the state constitution. Get this, our old friend Andre Jacques Bloc Chalac, State Senator Andre Jacques from New Franken, not New Franklin, but New Franken, and State Representative Chance Green from Grand View proposed eliminating permit requirements for firearm owners who want to carry guns in a concealed fashion, known to supporters as constitutional carry. Under the bill, quote-unquote law-abiding citizens would not need a license to carry a concealed firearm in public. To quote the late, great Mel Sharples, from Alice, hey, dingy. I mean, this is bat crap crazy. I mean, there is off your nut, and then there's off your nut. But should we expect anything less from our old friend Andre Jacques, who tried to launch his state Senate campaign on a bill about bestiality? Great to see Andre Jacques back in the news, trying to stop bestiality and letting people carry guns wherever they want without a permit. That's from the crazy section. Come on back. We'll have the sanity after this. Capital Times reporter Danielle DeCloss right here talking about DPI on the other side. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
News from the center, WRCE.
107.7 WRCE News from the center.
And home to Matt and Air on Air weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Recently, Congressman Derek Van Orden introduced the Agriculture Reform Act of 2025. This new bill aims to keep foreign workers here within the U.S. to work on the farms. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and part of this bill includes a one-year protected status for the workers. Coming up next, we will take a listen in to Congressman Van Orden as he describes how this protected status works.
From mealtime to snack time, pork has got you covered. Toss chops, rice, veggies, and seasonings in one pan for a weeknight flavor that gets everyone excited. Or add Italian sausage to soup for instant comfort food vibes. It's flavors worth sharing around the table because when pork's involved, every meal becomes the main event. For more crowd-pleasing recipes, visit tastewhatporkcando.com. This message brought to you by Wisconsin Pig Farmers and the Pork Checker.
Now here's Congressman Van Orden describing how the protected status would work.
The reason that you go into a one-year protected status is because if you have, let's just say, 50 people working on a dairy farm and they all have to leave the country, if all 50 of them left at the same time, the cow's going to keep milking. Do you understand what I'm saying? The hog is going to keep growing. So it's going to be a management issue for individual farms to rotate these people in and out of the country so that they can maintain their production capacity. It's a management issue.
Representative Van Orden says that the only crime these people can have committed is entering the country illegally. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at those closing markets right after this.
Get ready, Wisconsin. 10 days packed with discovery, fun, and excitement are coming your way. It's the Wisconsin Science Festival, October 16th through the 26th. With over 200 unique events in more than 50 counties, you'll find something for everyone, kids, families, and lifelong learners. This year's theme, rock and roll. Dive into the music, motion, and geology with interactive events. Don't miss the fun. Visit wiscifest.org to find events near you.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's see how the markets closed on this Tuesday. Chicago's not helping us out to end the day with cash new crop corn down 3.5 at 4.19¾ and cash new crop soybeans down a penny at 10.30¾. December wheat is down 4.5 at $5.25, with 2026 July new crop wheat down 4¾ at $5.39½. Looking at Class 3 milk, November contracts are down 7 cents at $16.95 a hundredweight, and December contracts are down 22 cents at $16.51 a hundredweight. 40-pound blocks of cheese are down 3 cents at $176.50, and butter remained even at $158. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers, clouds, and a very stiff west to northwest wind between 35 and 40 miles per hour for your Tuesday afternoon. Highs in the upper 40s. Tonight, shower chances wind down. The breeze stays up. Clouds in upper 30s near 50 Wednesday. Right now, it's 45 degrees.
Matt Nair on Air.
He is the executive director of Back 40 Action. Will Westmoreland is here. So, Will, we can't sell our soybeans. There's no market for that. But Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Agriculture, says it's all great. What are you hearing from fellow farmers?
Well, Jane, we are the world's leader in one Department of Agriculture now that Donald Trump is president and Brooke Rollins is Secretary of Agriculture, and that's word salad.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and podcast host Jimmy Pardo, then Mission 1 Billion co-founders Rex Sykes and Rocky Wagonhurst join the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Lovell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock on this Tuesday, October 21st, 2025. Aaron Zommer's on the board. Very thankful and very glad that we can have our next guest with us. She is an enterprise investigative reporter at the Capital Times. Danielle Duclos joins us via StreamYard right now. Danielle, welcome to the show, and thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is our pleasure. Before we get into this really important story on DPI that you broke last Friday, and it's getting and well-deserved a lot of play, a lot of attention, as I think it should. But before we get into the actual story, we'll do what we always do with someone who is new to our program. Danielle, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and how you got into journalism.
Yeah, I grew up in Anchorage, Alaska, actually, so
really?
Not near Wisconsin.
Wow.
Yes, so I do love the Wisconsin cool weather. That's very familiar to me. And really, I got my start in journalism in my high school journalism class, and went to the University of Missouri School of Journalism from there, and then started reporting here in Wisconsin, covering specifically education in Green Bay. And then recently, about a year ago, I started at the Cap Times, solely focused on investigative and government accountability work.
Wow. Well, we could talk for a half an hour on just what you said there. Never been to Alaska. I'm infatuated by it. Would love to go sometime. And
I recommend.
Anybody knows, I was a comm major, not a journalism. They didn't have a J school at Platteville, but anybody who knows anything about journalism, Missouri is one of the top programs in the entire country and turns out great reporters like yourself. So congrats on that. And so how long have you been at the Capital Times?
Just a little over a year. So I started last June.
All right.
And really been enjoying working here.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. Welcome to Wisconsin, even though you've been here for a while. Let's get into, and I've given my opinions on this in the first hour, a little bit yet this last hour on this story. You're not here for opinion and analysis. You're a straight line reporter. You do it very well. So I wanted to bring you on, first of all, to talk about the story that you wrote. And then if we have time, I want to give you an opportunity. Dr. Underley put out a statement on Friday in response to what you had written. And I want to give you an opportunity to speak to that if you wish. But first of all, let's get into this story. And what led you to start? It was a year-long investigation, right? What led you to do this with the Department of Public Instruction?
Right. So this reporting journey actually started a few years ago for me when I covered a case in Green Bay. And when I was doing that reporting, I realized it was more than just one teacher or one school. I wanted to know how often this was happening across the state of Wisconsin. And so when I got to the Cap Times, I set out to answer that question. And so we went to the Department of Public Instruction to see how often they're investigating educators for sexual misconduct and grooming accusations. And that's kind of how this reporting started out. And our reporting found that at least 44% of the investigations conducted by the department since 2018 through 2023 had to do with accusations of sexual misconduct or grooming. And we say at least because there were about a fifth of those cases that we weren't able to determine the nature of the misconduct that was investigated. So as advocates and researchers said, it's likely an undercount.
There is... I've had other people ask me this. I said, hey, I'll ask the reporter, what led you to have that time period from 2018 to last year? How did you pick that time frame?
Yeah, so the records that the Department of Public Instruction keeps to track these cases go back to 2018 is when their like tracking sheet started. They obviously have records that go further back than that, but their summative internal records on case tracking started in 2018. So that was a natural starting point for us. And then through 2023 is really when we requested the records. That's how far it went at the time. And so we reviewed those cases. And obviously a lot of the cases from 2024 when we were working on this investigation were open. And so there wasn't a lot of information available about those.
Well, I'll make sure that I'm getting it right and you keep me honest. Out of the 200 plus people that you found in your investigation, A, not all of these are what we consider quote unquote teachers. They were support staff, other people within that were working in school districts, correct?
Correct. So the Department of Public Instruction oversees educator licenses. So it's not just teachers. They also do teachers' aides, substitutes, principals, superintendents. And so those investigations covered a wide range of educators.
And the second question is that, and again, keep me honest, these are not, you're not saying, or maybe you are, but as I read this story, these are allegations in some cases that didn't go to criminal investigation. And I'll use the term deal, that's Todd terms, that essentially there was an agreement. Maybe that's a better term. There was agreement on some of these cases where there were allegations that the educator or the support person was able to give up their license in exchange for having any sort of investigation continued even before it got to the potential criminal level of a police investigation, true or not?
So to be very clear, we did not look into the criminal side of these investigations. This is solely what the Department of Public Instruction was investigating for licensure. So we were not exploring how far, what stages of criminal investigations that these cases went to. Some of these cases were a result of people being criminally charged. And so there was some of that, but this really focused on the Department of Public Instruction's own investigations. And yes, you are correct that they are allegations. They started with complaints and reports, and these are investigations that the department opened after receiving these reports. And you are correct that the most common way that an educator loses their license in the state of Wisconsin is by voluntarily surrendering it. And that means that they give up their license and it wasn't revoked by the state. And in those cases, the investigation is closed and the Department of Public Instruction offers the opportunity at the onset of every investigation for an educator to surrender their license immediately and close the investigation. And the CAP Times found that more than 80 of the educator sexual misconduct and grooming investigations had results like that, where they surrendered their license.
And the story, again, we're talking with Danielle Duclos, the Enterprise and investigative reporter at the Capital Times. You can find her work online and, of course, in print as well when it came out. But Capital Times or CapTimes.com is where you could find this story. It was first published last week on October 15th. I would encourage everyone. It's a long story. It's a tough read, I'll be honest, because and I think appropriately so, you include details. I would say as a reader, I think it unfortunately drives home the severity of these allegations, or in some cases where there were criminal charges. I think it puts in context how heavy this is. And what I found, and for me, Danielle, what I just said, that's first and foremost the alleged victims. Certainly for first and foremost, the most important thing that came out for me, your most concerning point. But a close second is the fact, and you write in this story, that you asked the superintendent of public instruction, Jill Underley, to be interviewed, and she declined. And she had her correct spokesperson do this. And I think that, to me, as someone who also remembers that she did not want to debate her opponents in the election for a re-election, the campaign for re-election this spring, she used to come on this program, Dr. Underley did. She quit coming on about 2 years ago. She doesn't want to come on other shows or this show on this network, and now she doesn't want to talk to a reporter. The lack of transparency, Danielle, to me, is disturbing. As a reporter who did this story, was that an obstacle for you to give the reader full context when one of the people isn't willing to talk?
I always want to talk with the subjects of my reporting, right? I always want to hear their perspectives. I think it's really important. That's why reporters ask for interviews, right? We ask for interviews because we want to be able to ask follow-up questions. We want to have in-depth conversations. We want to understand their perspectives. So it was disappointing not to get an interview with Dr. Underleap before publication. And I also did not get an interview with their head or former head now of the Office of Legal Services, which oversees the misconduct investigations. I would have appreciated that to get more detail as well. So always welcome the opportunity to interview people who are featured in my reporting.
And you write in the story here, quote, Underleap declined requests for an interview discussing the Department of Public Instruction's investigation would create, quote unquote, conflict of interest since Underleap oversees educator licenses, according to her spokesperson. You're a true reporter. You also, I know you're not a lawyer, but good reporters also know the law. I don't see the conflict of interest here.
That's what the spokesperson said. So we take her word for it and reported that we asked for an interview and that was her reason for declining.
Let's speak again, Danielle DeCloss, Enterprise Investigative Reporter at the Cap Times, this great reporting, disturbing reporting, hard reporting, but important reporting on the Department of Public Instruction. I think for me, again, as a reader, Danielle, the fact that you got this correct or incorrect through an open records request. Now, it doesn't necessarily take an open records request to get this information. Had you just asked at first and they said, well, no, you got to file open records request. What was the process to get this information?
So I did file an open records request to get this information. That's typically
right off
how
the bat.
Typically how I go about things and just get that process going because sometimes it can take a while. And so we got these records, specifically what we filed for was any internal like tracking documents they had on their investigations throughout the year. So they provided us a spreadsheet that we talked about earlier that went back to 2018 that had information about their cases that they had conducted, such as, the date that the investigation was opened and things like that. And then they also provided a document that had case notes and summaries of the investigations from about 2019 through part of 2022. And so we relied heavily on those records because they're the sole summative internal tracking documents of the investigations conducted at the Department of Public Instruction. And so we went through by hand twice and looked at all of the investigations. We reviewed more than 450 and basing off of the department's own internal misconduct like definitions, whether it's like physical assault or, maybe discriminatory comments and things like that, we started to categorize the conduct under investigation to try to get the answer to that question, right? How often is this happening in the state of Wisconsin? And so we went through and coded those. And as, I mentioned that 44% had to do with accusations of sexual misconduct or grooming, but for about 100 cases, there was not enough detail in those records for us to be able to determine or categorize the conduct that was being investigated.
And Danielle, one of the things, again, as someone who comes from a family of educators, I'm only goofball in my family, did not go into that. The vast majority, in my opinion, of educators in the state of Wisconsin are fantastic. And I think the lack of transparency on the DPI side to what you just said, there might have been false accusations and these people were cleared. And the lack of transparency, in my opinion, only does harm to all the great educators out there. And I would think as a reporter, that also had to be frustrating to really have to kind of, my word, fight for that information.
Yeah, as a reporter, I'm always going to advocate for more transparency and access to information because it obviously makes my job easier and reporting what's going on a lot easier. And something that we did try to do is find out if we wanted an individual case file, how long would that take? And so we asked for 10 of those in April, and it took until September, over 4 months, before we got those 10 files back.
We're going to come back and talk more with Danielle DeCloss, Enterprise Investigative Reporter at the Cap Times, on this story and what Dr. Underleap said after the report came out. That and more is the All Ball Show on Civic Media's Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Streaming TV, TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our estate's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local-state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forests or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin heads west to take on the Oregon Ducks. Our coverage begins at 4.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
We'll be pressured and sacked.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our 10 Civic Media stations you're listening to across the state. And then it'll be a weather update, sports with our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, talking about our very own Green Bay Packers. I'm going to see the film tonight. No Packers, no life. And then another edition of the Maggie Dawn Show from 4 until 6, followed by Pete Schwabe and Nightlight from 6 until 8. Right now, we are talking to the Enterprise investigative reporter at the Capital Times, Danielle Duclos, Todd. That is the way you say the name. I apologize, Danielle. Names are important. I wrote it down and I still had it wrong. I apologize for that. But it's great to have you here with us. She wrote this very, very important piece at the Capital Times. You can find it at CapTimes.com, dealing with over 200 teacher sexual misconduct and grooming cases, the Department of Public Instruction, not all what we might call quote unquote teachers, but support staff and other folks as well. And the fact that DPI has I'll summarize you, Danielle, you tell me if it's fair or not, but it's difficult to find these records in some cases. And then to your point, you asked for these and it took months to get back to you. And I think there's this a part that I think some people will say, you know, it's sensationalistic. This subject has been sensationalized in politics, which I disagree with. It's a very serious subject. And to me, it's about transparency and the lack thereof about Dr. Underly and the Department of Public Instruction.
Yeah, this is a very serious topic. And with the researchers and advocates I spoke with, you know, who have been dedicating their lives to looking into educator sexual misconduct and grooming, you know, this is very serious and it's widespread across the country. And yeah, it does. The reporting really came down to transparency and access to this information. As you mentioned, Todd, you know, the Cat Times did submit for records requests and one particular request where we asked for 10 educator investigation files, just specific educators, to see how long would it take to get those 10 files. And it took over 4 months. And to put that into perspective, the Department of Public Instruction on average conducts 113 investigations a year. So 10 case files is less than 10% of their annual caseload. So in terms, and then we also put out a request in July for about 100 case files to, you know, fill the gap on some of the unknown conduct that we had reported, and we still have not received back those records.
I know there's an assembly hearing coming up on Thursday where they're asking Dr. Underly to appear to address some of the things brought up in your article. Is there any word whether Dr. Underly will appear in person?
I have not heard whether she's going to appear in person. So my plan is to go myself in person and see who's there and listen. And I'm interested to see where it goes.
To your point earlier, you asked Dr. Underly to be interviewed for this article before it was published. She declined. She had her spokesperson talk to you. And then after it came out, our colleague Jane Matt, Aaron, Greg Bach, and Dan Schaefer talked about it on their show last week when it came out. We talked about it on this show. And then lo and behold, Dr. Underly puts out a letter in which she attacked you and the Capital Times. I want to give you an opportunity to address a couple of these things. In her letter, she says, quote, the DPI investigates every allegation of educator misconduct with the highest level of seriousness and effort. And then skipping down, quote, this article fails to reflect that reality. Comments?
The Cap Times stands by its reporting. We spent a year investigating this. As you mentioned, we asked Dr. Underly for an interview prior to publication. She declined. And since she released her statement, we've extended another invitation for an interview with us so she can provide her perspectives, and she has yet to respond to that invitation.
She also writes in her letter from Friday, the article's implication that the DPI withholds information from the public is categorically false. Skipping down, additionally, the licensure status of every educator in Wisconsin, including those who are under investigation, revoked or surrendered, is publicly accessible on DPI's website.
Yeah, and that actually was highlighted in our article, that you can look up the status of an educator's license. What is not available on that public lookup is why an educator lost their license or surrendered their license. And the researchers and advocates I spoke with said the why is really important. And transparency on that is important because you don't need a teaching license for other jobs that involve kids. You can work as, let's say, a private summer camp counselor. You could be a coach for a private rec league, and that doesn't require you to have a teaching license. And so the advocates and researchers I spoke with raised concern about the lack of easily accessible information. You'd have to file a records request and wait for that to be released for an individual educator to figure out why they lost their credentials.
And finally, there's more to this letter, but to the last one I'll bring up, Dr. Underly says in a letter from Friday, voluntary surrender often spares victims, many of whom are minors, from re-traumatization over lengthy investigations, unquote. Well, first you.
Yeah, I mean, I would have loved to hear that from her in an interview. Right. The types of things, yeah. I mean, honestly, that's the type of thing that I would love to have heard from her. And yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, this is just the first part of the Cap Times reporting. This is just story one. Part two comes out tomorrow. We're going to have subsequent stories coming out. And so this is really just the first installment of this reporting.
Well, Danielle DeClos, I really appreciate your time. I appreciate your reporting on this. I encourage you, and as someone who worked for a long time in the building on the other side, in my experience, when people in an elected office don't want to talk and don't want to be transparent, there's probably something there. And so I admire what you're doing and would just say keep it up, and you're welcome back on this program anytime, because as we say in our show, we're about pursuing truth wherever that may lead. So thank you very much for being with us. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Todd. It was great to be with you.
Great to have you. Emily Duclos, Enterprise Investigative Reporter at the Capitol.
Danielle,
pardon me. Boy, if I could invite. Yes, I'm in broadcasting. Danielle Duclos, Enterprise Investigative Reporter at the Capitol. Thank you very much. Also, thank you to Aaron Zommers and all of you for listening. Maggie Dawn is next. We'll be back tomorrow on this program with Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen. So join us then for much more. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow. And your day will come. Keep banging on your drum. And they will hear you.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. With the backdrop of the government shutdown, President Trump held a luncheon at the White House today touting Republican victories, including deep spending cuts passed in the GOP megabill. Democrats are calling for Republicans to restore cuts and extend health care premiums. Funding for key programs also in jeopardy with each day of the shutdown.
Officials are warning time is running out for critical programs. SNAP, often called food assistance, which serves more than 40 million Americans, is set to dry up in most states by the end of this month.
ABC's Jay O'Brien. The White House in a statement today says there are no plans for President Trump and Russia's President Putin to meet in Hungary or in the immediate future. The White House says Secretary Rubio talked with his Russian counterpart, Sergei Lavrov, by phone. ABC News has learned Lavrov made it clear that Russia rejected President Trump's call to freeze the fighting in Ukraine on the front line. Tropical storm Melissa has formed. It's the 13th named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season. This is ABC News.